Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Silk Laser FY21 results conference call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Martin Perelman, CEO. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for listening in today on our first full year results as a publicly listed company. We're obviously very excited to deliver this result coming off a very strong year. I'll get straight into the presentation. I believe everyone has a copy of that presentation, so I'll just start walking through that presentation and talking about it. If everyone could turn to slide number two, I'll call out a couple of the highlights of our full year results. First and foremost, we achieved an $85.1 million in network cash sales. That is 68% up on prior comparable period and obviously up on our original IPO prospectus forecast. We achieved a pro forma EBITDA of $17.3 million. This is 180% up on the prior comparable period. And further to that, it's actually 8% above our upgraded guidance, which is in the vicinity of $15 to $16 million. We achieved an underlying EBITDA of $14.8 million. We had an upgraded guidance of between $14 and $15 million. So again, we achieved near the upper end of our upgraded guidance and also 128% up on prior comparable period. We always had a very strong operating cash flow of $23.8 million, 125% up on prior comparable period. So a really strong, great set of results for the year. Moving to slide number three. Calling out a couple of operational highlights of how we achieved such a strong result. We had a 52% growth on a like-for-like period across our network clinic sales. A lot of that like-for-like growth has come through the maturing of our young clinic going into years two and three of opening. Also, markets such as Western Australia are really growing very strongly. We opened up 11 clinics for the year, so bringing a total at the end of June 30 to 61. That's above our original forecast of 6 to 10 per year, so really pleased with that result. Really pleasingly, we have now 358,000 clients in our database, but the real big call out of that is we had in excess of 80,000 new clients in the last financial year. So a fairly young, active client database that we can continue to market towards. Our social media following is continuing to grow. We now have 112,000 customers across our Facebook and Instagram media profile, 24% up on last period. And we have an NPS of 78. Now, we've been measuring NPS for the last few years, and to have an NPS of 78 with close to 30,000 respondents is a very strong response and two up on last year, which is averaging 76. And last but not least, we won the 2020 Australian Emerging Franchisor of the Year Award. It's a really important piece to note. We have a real franchise partner first mentality, and we think that'll put us in good stead for our future acquisition of Australian Skin Clinics, which is a majority franchise-owned business. Moving across to slide number four, our business continues to focus on its social impact and how we can continue to improve and give back to the community. We have a really strong focus on local charities and focus with local businesses to support those local community charities. We have a very strong female-oriented business with 50% of our leadership team being female and 100% of our franchise partners being female. We are in the middle of developing our ESG strategy, and that will be completed and developed over the FY22 year. Moving to slide number five. Obviously, COVID is a challenge that all businesses have had to face over the last 18 months, and we are continuing to face that moving forward into the Christmas period. We continue to update our policies and continue to focus on best practice at all times. This is all coming around about keeping our customers and our staff as safe as we possibly can. We put in policies and procedures in our clinics that go over and above a direct government measures, and we will continue to follow protocols that we believe are best practice for our business. And we're really focused on our staff. So we work on a variety of incentives and educational items that we can do to keep our staff that are maybe in shutdown periods or stand down periods to truly focus on their emotional well-being and also really help them with their educational platform, which will allow them to then transfer that onto a great customer service and a great offering for our clients. Moving into slide number 6, safety is a very key word in our business and something that we are continuing to evolve and develop as we continue to grow. Delivering medical-based aesthetic treatments, it's important that safety is always front of mind for our business, and it will continue to be. Over the last 12 months, we have formed a medical board and brought on a second medical director to help support extra clinical governance. We've also formed a nurses board that will help oversee all company service offerings and implement best practices and parameters. With the size of our company now, we are working with a variety of state governments around legislation and potential change in licensing in our industry. A lot of governments are looking at Silk to be one of the leaders in our industry, and so we're really pleased to be able to help governments and assist where we can to help continue to regulate our industry. We now have state-of-the-art training centres in South Australia, Western Australia, New South Wales and Queensland, and we have dedicated educators working in all major states to continue a best practice education. We are continuing to evolve our e-learning platform, giving a library of content to our staff to be able to access 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This obviously helps with all educational growth in all of our staff. All of this safety and education has resulted in the last item on this slide, which is a 0.01% major adverse reaction event across all of our categories. So that's a very low number and something we're very proud of and something we'll continue to focus on as we continue to grow.
Thank you, Martin. I'd like you to take you to the next slide with summarising the financial results. So very pleased to summarise our main financial results following our listing on the Australian stock market in December. Those of you who've been following us for a while will know that we provided a forecast in our prospectus and we upgraded that forecast in February, and as Martin called out, some of those key numbers in relation to that, that both the forecast and the upgrade. So as you can see from the table on the P&L, so the network cash sales, that captures all sales right across the Silk network, regardless of ownership, just all of our clinic sales. You see that's 5% up on the prospectus forecast. That was at the higher end of our upgrade, and also 68% up on last year. The reported revenue captures all revenue streams that are consolidated into Silk's accounts and is on a statutory basis. So we've seen very strong growth there, 82% versus prior year, and 10% up in our prospectus forecast. Then we have two key measures of EBITDA. We have the pro forma EBITDA, which is essentially the statutory EBITDA number derived directly from statutory accounts, just adjusting for one-off items. The three main one-off items were the JobKeeper and stimulus support. We backed that out from the accounts. And then we've removed the IPO one-time listing costs and the transaction costs relating to the ASC transaction. So that came in at 17.3, which was million for the year, which was above our upgrade of 15 to 16 million. So an exceptionally good result. Very pleased with that. And way above last year, 180% above last year. The underlying EBITDA, that's the measure that we use internally within the business, and that's based on it's based on the pro forma EBITDA, but adjusting for cash sales and bringing in the half share of the joint ventures that we have a 50% stake in, and backing out the non-controlling interests for joint ventures that we have a 75% ownership of. And it also removes the cash rent cost, which is 3.2 million. So it adjusts for all those things, and that came in at just under 15 million, 14.8 against our upgrade forecast of 14 to 15, so right at the higher end of the range. Again, very pleased with that. And the pro forma NPAT, 7.5 million, way up on last year, and 38% of the upgraded forecast. And that all translates into strong EPS. So if I can just move you to the next slide, looking at operating cash flow. So as you can see, as we've explained in the past, a key feature of the Silk business is that it's a very strong cash generative business, and the operating cash flow is usually higher than the EBITDA. And part of the reason for that, the largest reason for that, is that we sell in our laser hair and skin categories, and to a lesser extent in body, we sell prepaid treatment packages. So customers are typically buying those. Those represent overall about 45% of our business. and customers are buying treatment packages in advance of undertaking treatment. So they'll typically buy a course of treatments of 3 to 10, so then they'll come back into the clinic and redeem those. So our cash flow tends to outstrip our EBITDA, which is a really strong feature of the business. We've invested in the business over the course of the last year. We've opened 7 new corporate and majority-owned clinics, which primarily Silk is funding. And we've also made an investment in 4 new joint venture clinics. So that's the lion's share of our CapEx and investments spend for the year. And additionally, we've invested in the new category of body. We spent about $3.5 million on that category and expanding our capacity in that area, and we're continuing to invest in the new year. The level of maintenance capex is quite low in our business. It tends to be to 100,000 a year, replacing some tech items and the sort of any refresh. If I can turn you next to the balance sheet, I can just see those summarised balance sheets that the company has at the end of June. So you can see that we've got a very, very strong balance sheet. The cash balance of $44.7 million reflects the fact that we are about to complete the acquisition of ASC, which will occur at the end of August. So we have $24.5 million earmarked for that within the cash balance currently on our balance sheet. And that includes the proceeds received from the placement that we had in June, the $20 million placement. The remaining $22.5 million, the acquisition will be funded from a new $30 million debt facility with a major bank. That's a very sort of standard facility and will give us further headroom to undertake subsequent acquisitions should we choose. And you can see the rest of the balance sheet. We've got the growth to expect in property, plants and equipment and fixed assets with the investments in the business. Contract liabilities is primarily the unearned revenue. $8 million relates to prepaid treatments, and about $1 million relates to gift voucher liabilities that we obviously recognise in our accounts as customers redeem those treatments. So just take you to the next slide, which was a slide that we included within our prospectus pack, within the prospectus itself, and just try to explain to the market and investors how our clinics evolve over their life cycle. So when we first open a clinic, these are based on average figures and they've been updated. So we're looking at the first 3 years of the clinic's life. Trying to explain what is the typical financial profile of those clinics after they've opened. The initial capex spend overall, including and actually adding into that working capital and the initial startup cost that we have is about $700,000. So that's the measure against which we're looking at these figures. In the first year, we're now seeing average cash sales, that's treatments actually paid for, is averaging $1.1 million. We make a statutory EBITDA loss in that first year, but actually cash generative, so a small underlying EBITDA or cash profit of $66,000 on average. So we're already starting to make a bit of money in that first half. So typically, the first half of the first year is cash losses, but by the second half we're turning that around into profits and overall net profit for the year. Then we tend to see a strong step up as that clinic becomes recognised in the local community, builds its customer base and builds its reputation. So pushing towards $1.5 million by the second year and making a profit on both EBITDA measures and making an underlying EBITDA margin of 15%. And starting to make a really good return on that $700,000 invested capital of 32%. And then by the third year now, on average, clinics that are over 3 years now are averaging $2 million of revenue. And we're seeing that profit per clinic of about $500,000 on a statutory EBITDA basis and almost $400,000 on an underlying basis and giving shareholders in that clinic a 20% return. So that's, and just to emphasize, these figures are after Silk's franchise fees. So I think that paints a very good picture. But I can hand back to Martin, who will explain the operational momentum of the business.
Thanks, Ivan. So if everyone could turn to slide number 13, we'll talk about our strong like-for-like growth. As I mentioned previously, we've had a really strong like-for-like growth across our network as our clinics have started to mature and also the service mix has continued to evolve across our business. So we saw a very strong 52% growth like-for-like versus the year before in that chart on the top left. Interesting to note, we had 631,000 appointments across our business last year, with most of those clients having multiple treatments per appointment. If I look at where that growth has come from, there's four categories to the right that I'll talk about very briefly. From a cosmetic injectables piece, this has been one of the strongest growth categories. We achieved over 91,000 injectable treatments in our business last year, and we obviously franchised 7 more nurse injector-led clinics in FY21. From a body contouring perspective, this has been a strong growth area for us and still in rollout phase. We now have 68% of our network offering CoolSculpt, which is a fat contouring device, and 53% offering M-Sculpt, which is a muscle building device, giving a total network of 40% of our total business now offering both modalities. Body is a category we will continue to evolve and develop over the next 12 months. From a skin treatment perspective, we'll continue to add a few new skin treatments this year. We have 3 in the pipeline. And we also upgraded to a best-in-class microneedling device, working with our great supplier from Dermapen World to roll out a MediPen, which is best-in-class. From a laser hair removal perspective, that's continuing to grow very strong. Still our strongest category from a volume perspective, and still using that as a key acquisition tool to bring clients across into our other categories. Moving to slide number 13, we decided to put a slide specifically around skincare as a separate modality. Skincare is a separate revenue stream where we have a good opportunity to continue to grow outside of the Silk network. If you look at the top part of the slide here, we have a 48% growth this year in skincare on prior comparable period. Now this is across our Silk network, our online sales, which is our own website, Adore Beauty, which is our exclusive online retailer, and also third-party bricks and mortar retailers. We've continued to evolve the range. We've added a variety of new products, both from a professional side and also a retail side. And obviously, I've already talked about that MediPen. With the acquisition of Australian Skin Clinics, we will now bring a third skincare brand into our portfolio, which is called Balance Skincare. That's their own internal brand. So this will mean we'll have 3 brands called Aesthetics RX as our premium brand, Silk Skincare as our entry-level brand, and Balance Skincare as Australian Skin Clinics mid-tier brand. We will continue to look to evolve and expand all of those ranges across our entire network in FY22. Looking at online, we've had 121% sales growth in skincare in the prior comparable period with average basket size of just under $300. What's really pleasing is our website visits are now up 141% on prior comparable period. Looking at our exclusive online retailer Adore, we're seeing really strong growth across that platform with 26% up in the second half of FY21 versus the first half. So all signs are very positive in regards to continuing to expand our skincare category. Moving to slide number 15. As mentioned previously, we've got 358,000 clients on our database with 80,000 new clients coming in this year. What's really exciting is you're seeing our average client spend dramatically increase, moving from $473 in FY20 per client now to $606. That growth in average client spend is really coming from a change in our service mix as injectables is growing as a percentage of our business and also the introduction of the body category. Both of those categories have a very high average client spend. We expect for this year, FY22, that the average client spend will probably maintain around that $600 mark. Moving to slide number 16. This slide is dedicated around our digital offering. Digital has been a real key focus for our brand over the last year and will continue to be a very strong focus for FY22. A couple of key highlights for this year is we launched online booking across hair, skin and body categories. And that's really improved our user experience. We have now really improved our online purchasing experience with 33% of our total sales in laser, skin and body now coming from online. We've done some new additions such as abandoned cart email that's generating in the vicinity of 40,000 a month in extra sales, 85,000 in the first 2 months, and that's continuing to improve. We are looking to rebuild our website from scratch this year and the focus will be all around our user experience. Looking to the charts on the right, you can see that our website user sessions was around 3 million for the year, and our website conversion was close to 180,000. So website conversion is how we measure whether a client will transact. That might be purchasing something, booking online, clicking on a clinic's phone number, or making a general inquiry. All of those are considered a conversion. Our focus will be to continue to improve that conversion rate as our website increases over the next year. Moving to slide number 17, Australian Skin Clinics is an acquisition that we signed off of in June, and we actually takeover on September 1st, so within the next week. This acquisition is a key strategic acquisition for our company and will move us to 116 clinics across the entire network. This makes us the leader, or one of the leaders, apologies, across the aesthetic medicine markets, and will also give us an entry into new markets that Silk and Note have not been in before, ideally Victoria and New Zealand. The Australian Skin Clinics and Cosmetic Clinic Network is generating approximately $80 million in network cash sales. When you add that to Silk's $85.1 for this year, we're in that vicinity of $165+ million. As mentioned in the last presentation, full first year of EBITDA is predicted to be around that $4.9 million. Now, just to clarify, that is under normal trading conditions. And we also expect it's greater than 20% EPS, again, under normal trading conditions. If you move to slide number 18, you can see how geographically this makes a fair change in regards to our footprint in Australia. You can see that there is a really strong addition of growth in Victoria, New South Wales, Queensland, and New Zealand. We see further growth opportunities to come out of each of those eastern seaboard states. So that'll be continuing to be our focus as we consolidate that business into our Silk platform as well. Slide number 19 is a key part of our success. We focus on our customers and our customer experience, and we look at all of our platforms on how we can continue to receive live feedback from our clients. NPS, or Net Promoter Score, is our internal measurement tool, and we focus very heavily on that. In FY20, we had an NPS of 76 across a sample size of 20,000 clients being surveyed. And FY21, we had an NPS of 78, so a 2-point improvement, and across a sample size of just under 30,000 respondents. So a really strong result, and this will continue to be at the forefront of our business to ensure that we are giving first-class service. Our Google reviews and Trustpilot reviews will also be a key part of our focus. We have a Google average of 4.47 and a Trustpilot average of 4.2. All of our staff are trained to respond to any poor reviews at NPS, Google, or Trustpilot within 24 hours and work to make a solution or outcome for that client. Social media is continuing to improve, and we have now close to 140,000 customers on our Facebook platform across both Silk and Australian Skin Clinics. And Instagram, we have close to 54,000 across Silk and Australian Skin Clinics. This will be a key focus for us as we continue to drive both of those social media platforms plus other platforms as well. So I move to slide 21. We decided to put this slide in because there's been a question that has come up in multiple times from investors in our business of how has Silk and the beauty industry been so successful in a post-COVID world? And media have thrown around words such as the Zoom effect or Zoom face, etc. So Allergan, who's the major supplier of Botox and manufacturers, did a survey across Australia and New Zealand and surveyed over 2,000 Australian men and women 18 and above to understand their thoughts and process of how they're living with up close and personal video calls. And there were some really interesting statistics that have come out from that, and I'll call out a couple of those. 67% of people surveyed felt that they cared about how they looked on video calls. 31% felt more aware of their flaws from video calls. And because of that, 48% would now consider to have a range of beauty treatments to improve their personal appearance from those flaws that are now being recognised in video calls. So as we move further and further into a digital age, you know, Teams, Zoom, whatever that may be, is continuing to stay and will be into the future. The demand and appetite for cosmetic medicine will continue to grow and become insatiable. And Silk is very well positioned to continue to execute against that and give our clients a great service and great result. Moving to slide number 22, this is a slide that's been before in our other presentations. Just really to rehash that we have multiple levers for continued growth that we will continue to execute against. We have really strong like-for-like growth across our industry. We had 52% last year. Not expecting 52% again this year, but we're expecting very strong growth again this year as our clinics continue to mature. We will continue to expand our clinic network through white space opportunities and different flat, different ownership opportunities as well. We're budgeting for between 4 to 8 new clinics to open in the FY22 year. And obviously M&A. We did the large acquisition in Australian Skin Clinics last financial year. there may be some opportunity for smaller M&A in FY22 and little tuck-in opportunities should the opportunity be the right one for Silk. Moving to slide 23, let's talk about our trading update. I think it's really important to first understand that Silk really operates on quarterly sales and promotional cycles. So we really focus on our quarterly end. Q1, so July through September, is usually Silk's strongest quarter of the financial year. And at the moment, we believe this will continue. This trend will continue for FY22. If I look at FY21 financial year, the months of July and September were the most profitable months for us in the full year. And that was coming off the tailwinds of coming out of COVID lockdowns last year. Now, notwithstanding a very strong prior comparable period and a very strong tailwind, July 21 this year, so our first month of this financial year, exceeded both of the sales and EBITDA perspective versus July of last year. So we're really pleased with that result, especially seeing as we had rolling lockdown across multi-states during that month of July. We've already opened 3 new clinics in FY22, which will bring our pro forma network now to 118 clinics as of the date of this presentation. And this 118 includes the Australian Skin Clinics and Cosmetic Clinic acquisition that comes through September 1st. If we look at our first 6 weeks of trading, so July 1st to the 22nd of August, our total network cash sales across our entire business is only 2% down versus the prior comparable period. Now, this doesn't take into account our lost trading days that we've had due to COVID lockdowns. If we look at this on a like-for-like basis, so i.e. clinics that were opened this period last year, we're currently trading at 13% down on a like-for-like basis. Now, if we pro forma this out and we remove all of the lost trading days, on a like-for-like basis, our business is actually trading 6% up. So what we're really trying to show here is that when we're open and allowed to trade, our business is very strong and the demand for our business is very strong. So we feel we're in a very good place to have a very strong sales result when all of our clinics will start to open up again in a post-COVID world. For the states that are shut, which is New South Wales and ACT for the Silk Network, we're currently continuing to build client waiting lists where we can continue to capture pent-up demand should that obviously occur when we reopen. We've also, due to this current COVID environment, we're committing to do a Q1 FY22 trading update that will be provided in early to mid-October. Moving to the last slide, which is our FY22 outlook. A really key important thing to note with the Silk network is that 80% of our network and Silk EBITDA comes from South Australia, Western Australia and Queensland. Now, most of those states have been less impacted by COVID-19 versus obviously the Eastern Seaboard. From an ASC perspective, that acquisition is on track for 1st of September. Now, there's a slightly different story with 65% of their network currently closed in Victoria, New South Wales and New Zealand, although we are expecting certain markets such as New Zealand to open up in the coming weeks. And obviously, we're waiting to hear what will happen across New South Wales and Victoria. As mentioned previously, we're looking to open up between 4 and 8 new clinics in FY22. Most of those new clinics will be on the Eastern Seaboard, and we've identified between 15 to 25 new sites across the next 2 years. New Zealand's the cosmetic clinic will continue to grow, and they're looking to add 4 new clinics for FY22, taking their total number to 18. As Ivan mentioned, we have a very strong balance sheet post the ASD acquisition, and this will provide us with a healthy cash flow in case of further financial impact due to possible lockdowns, but also will support future growth from both an M&A perspective or store organic opening perspective. So from our perspective, we're feeling very, very confident in a post-lockdown recovery, especially when you take into account the following 4 points. A, the ASC and TCC integration, and new clinic rollout, our strong like-for-like sales growth, and our pent-up demand that we expect to come out of the New South Wales and Victoria extended lockdown periods. That's really it from our side and our presentation. I'm happy to hand over now to Q&A, and we can sort of go from there.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star and then 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star and then 2. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question is from Shane Storey of Wilsons.
Thanks very much. Good morning, everyone. I might just start Marty, by just asking you to clarify a comment you made just a few minutes ago in your prepared remarks. You mentioned that the first quarter is typically your strongest.
Yes.
You felt that might still be the case in FY22. I just wanted to check if that was correct and if that's the way you're thinking about it, even notwithstanding the disruptions we've seen so far in the first 7 weeks.
Yeah, great question. Look, Q1 is normally our strongest quarter, and the reason we have that is we actually have two sales in that first quarter. So we have our end of financial year June-July sale, and we also have our birthday sale, which is usually in the month of September. Our marketing is prepared for the same platform. If you think about the Silk network, where 80% of our EBITDA comes from that network, obviously we can't control COVID and what's happening there. But assuming under current trading conditions, i.e. the current, where Australia is at the current environment, we do expect a very strong September that should set us up for a very strong financial year. So, you know, the only thing, the caveat on that is trading conditions with COVID, but under current environments, we're expecting a very strong Q1.
Well, maybe we can stick with that if I might, and if we can sort of go to the trading update, please, and how you expect that to play out over the first half. Can we just spend a couple of minutes discussing the parts of the Silk network? So let's leave ACS to one side. Parts of your network that are closed as we speak, and a sense of their relative contribution at the earnings level. Am I right in thinking that most of those clinics are in New South Wales, ACT, but they're traditional franchises?
Yeah, correct.
You're quite right, Shane, regarding the, if you look at New South Wales and ACT, we have 14 clinics across those regions. We have four are joint venture clinics, two are actually 75% owned, two are 50% owned, and the balance are traditional franchises. So in terms of our earnings profile, it's about sort of taking all those into account. That's less than 15%. Of our earnings come from those states and territories. So as things stand today, we're open in the rest of the country, of course, fingers crossed, as we don't have clinics in Victoria. So the real growth engines, real profit engines are SA, number one, and WA, number two, and WA's been growing very, very fast.
So yeah, although it is probably a bigger on quantum of clinics, 20% of our network, it's only 15% of our cash sales. So as I said, if the current status quo remains, as is with the current network, we should be in a strong position to deliver a good, strong Q1.
Yeah, and Queensland is as well, of course.
Yeah, well, just looking at that part of the network, I guess I've seen the like-for-likes that you've called out year-to-date, both in aggregate and then also, I guess, on a pro forma basis when you isolate for the day's closed effect. But could you give us a sense of what those numbers look like for the core parts of the network, particularly in Queensland, WA and SA?
They're
obviously going to be higher, but just to try and give us a sense.
Well, I don't think we're going to publish like-for-likes by state, but we've been very strong in WA, SA and Queensland. So, you know, we've seen strong growth. I mean, SA is the most mature network we've got. WA is growing very fast, and Queensland, that's been very good as well.
Yeah.
Probably the comps are probably strongest in Queensland, but that's a less mature network.
Yeah, we saw very strong injects coming out of WA showing, and we're still seeing that growing out of that market. So it's an area that we've grown our nurse network quite heavily, and we saw that coming through in our July month. Obviously, our big sale in July month is very, very strong in hair. And so we had a very strong hair removal month as well. But WA in particular had good, strong inject coming out of that month, where SA is a bit more mature, as Ivan said. So that growth is not as pronounced. But again, when you look at our average client spend, which is maintaining around that $600 mark, you can see where that growth has come from due to client spend on those categories.
Right. So presumably, the treatment mix that you see, it's slightly different depending on whether you're looking at the corporate networks or the JV 50s or traditional franchise. Different mix
We primarily see our joint ventures being nurse injector owners, so we see a much stronger inject part of our business coming out of that category. In saying that, our corporate network is growing very strongly in inject. So what we're seeing is nationally, our service mix is changing quite significantly, where historically it was a very strong laser hair removal business, where now it's becoming a very, very strong inject business. And with new categories like body now, you know, creeping up to 10% plus of our category offering, it, you can see where the mix is starting to move into different categories.
Okay. I might move on to ACS just briefly. I appreciate you don't settle on that transaction until next week, but do you have any anecdotal feedback that you can share on how their performance has tracked over the same period?
Well, what we do know is that obviously they're strong in Queensland, is their number one state. Victoria is also strong, and New Zealand. Now, clearly, at the moment, they're still trading in New Zealand. That's about sort of 30% or so of their business. But they've got a couple of clinics, one in WA and one in SA. But other parts of the country, Victoria, New South Wales and New Zealand are shut at the moment. So New Zealand is also a very important part of their business. It's more than 20% of the earnings come from that state, so that country, I should say. So they've had July was sort of partly affected by the shutdowns, but obviously Victoria went into a full shutdown in towards the end of July. So they are currently 65% closed. So that will be impacting that business quite severely. We haven't had absolute detail, but we know that's affecting them quite significantly at the moment.
We do know Queensland, which is their main state open, is trading very, very strongly. And we do have expectations that when Victoria does come out of lockdown that they will have a good, strong pent-up demand and will trade very strongly when they come out of there.
Yeah.
So Queensland is really their main engine room that is chugging along quite well, and results are very strong coming out of that state from what we can see.
And Victoria was doing very well. Up to the shutdown, Victoria was doing very well, actually.
One other thing, Shane, just to add, is their service mix is actually quite similar to ours, slightly tweaked a bit different. They're a bit stronger in skin treatments. We're a bit weaker in skin, but we're a bit stronger in inject, and they're a bit weaker in inject. So we see opportunity there for us to impart our inject knowledge into that platform and then to impart their skin knowledge into our platform so we can continue to grow both our categories and our business.
Thanks. My last question, and I guess it follows on from your comments about the pent-up demand. I mean, how are you thinking about capturing and then servicing that demand that's building in the current period? I mean, does that normally flow quite immediately into the sort of subsequent periods after the reopening? And then do you typically find yourself sort of expensing the delivery of that service 6 months later? Is that typically how it should work when we model this quarter by quarter?
Yeah, pretty well. I mean, look, the biggest comp we've got on pent-up demand was the March 26th to June 5th period of last year. That was the biggest lockdown period in our network, and we saw that the pent-up demand in certain categories, inject in particular and obviously hair, pretty well lasted around 3 months. We were close for 3 months, and it lasted around 3 or 4 months. So, you know, we will sort of take that sort of formula moving into each state as they particularly open up and see how that demand is. Obviously, from a labour perspective, we will try and utilise a lot of our staff to cater for that pent-up demand because we believe it will be very, very strong, and our nurse injectors will probably have to work some overtime to be able to cater for that demand. And to your point, exactly right, depending on which category, obviously injectors pay as you go, but laser hair and stuff, we should see some pretty strong purchasing and then see that treatments unwind as people are redeeming in the back half of the year.
Thanks, folks. That's all I had. Thanks.
Thank you, Shane.
Thank you. Our next question is from Douglas McGrath as Personal.
Hello, Douglas.
Hey, guys. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good, good. Congratulations on the result. All looks fantastic.
Thank you.
I only have two questions. From my calculations on average spend and the number of clients coming through and inject, it seems that about 50% of our revenue in the clinics come from injectables. Does that sound about right?
No, it's a bit softer than that, Douglas. It's probably in the circa of 40%.
Okay, that's still pretty strong, though.
Yeah, look, it's been growing. It's been growing. It's our strongest growing category.
Yeah. So some of our big clinics may get closer to that number, but for our weaker clinics, so it averages probably in the high 30s, low 40s now as we're seeing that move.
We saw an exceptional acceleration in that category in FY21.
Yeah. Okay, that's really good. And guys, I've been watching a lot of the news with the Laser Clinics Australia stuff, and it looks like there is a kind of revolt happening with their franchisees. And
yeah,
I think that's as a result of like some exorbitant fees being taken, rebates, etc. What level of our revenue at a head office level is generated off of our franchise fees and rebates and kind of any other margins that we put on them?
Yeah, we disclose that. That's about 5.7 million or something in our P&L. So 5.6 million, I should say. We're open with our franchisees. They know all the areas that we obtain. Obviously, our franchise fees are all embedded into the franchise agreement, and we fully disclose all the areas from which we get rebates. But I think culturally, we work, I don't know, I can't speak for LCA, but I know the culture we have, which is to work very closely with our franchisees and very, very supportive from a head office perspective. So it's not just about what fees they're paying, it's about what support we provide. So for all of our joint venture clients, we provide all of their back office services. So there's something they don't need to worry about. They can just focus on the clinic. We know from close contact with franchisees that our franchisees are very positive about the support they receive from Silk, and that the financially they're pleased with the returns they're getting.
You'll notice that throughout the presentation we've actually put quotes and imagery of a lot of our franchise partners. The reason we've done that is to really highlight our very, very close relationship we have with all of our franchise partners. You're only as healthy as your franchise network. And so we have a franchise, we have a customer focus first and then a franchise partner focus second. As long as you're supporting your franchise partners in all ways possible, and I've highlighted those around back of house, personal phone calls, all of them know and to call me anytime they like, for example, that really sets you up for a very strong culture and relationship. To be honest with you, fees and how that works almost become secondary because people buy a franchise based on support. And usually franchise issues come through lack of support. I can't speak on behalf of Laser Clinics Australia. I hope they generally resolve their issues with their franchise partners. But I don't believe it would be only just margin related. It would be other things that related as well. So we focus very heavily on support, and that's put us in good stead so far. And that's why we won the Emerging Franchisor of the Year as well.
That's wonderful. I think that's a very solid answer and very good practice. I think that's pretty much it. And my only other question based on that is, when we're selecting franchisees, it looks like the nurses is really the key area where you're trying to focus on, which I think is quite intelligent. How do we usually find these nurses, or do they find us, or is it they kind of come through the academy, or?
Yeah. So look, it's a bit. So you're spot on. So look. If I take one step back, we look at owner-operators as our number one in the Silk network. So we want, if I tier them, nurse injector owners is number one, beauticians or dermal technicians that are great clinic managers, number two, investors, number three, notwithstanding there are great investor franchisees in our network. But we are a big believer in cosmetic injectables as the big success of our future moving forward. And by going to partnership with our nurse injectors, it really quarantines and guarantees success from an injectables perspective for our franchise partners and for our business as well. We know that the injector client is very sticky to that nurse injector. So by bringing them into ownership with our business, it really allows us to guarantee very strong results for that clinic and that nurse injector and for our shareholders. How do we find those nurses? So it's basically threefold. If I take back that comment, which is all about support of franchise partners, franchisees breed franchisees. That's a thing I was taught a long time ago. So, nurse injectors are a very small community. If we have one nurse injector that has a great experience with Silk, they'll often tell their other nurse injector friends and colleagues, and then that's how franchise partners will create another franchise partner. So we have a very, very good reputation in industry of being a leader in nurse injector franchises and also our education and support and our culture. So we obviously get a lot of very strong nurse injectors that come across to us wanting to open up a Silk franchise. Number two, as we grow our corporate network, We're continuing to discuss with our corporate nurses that might be becoming really great nurse injectors around buying into a clinic. We sold 2 corporate stores this year to nurse injectors in Western Australia under joint venture arrangements. They were 2 injectors that have grown very strongly in our network, and we saw an opportunity for them to take their next step. So we're always on the lookout for either highlighting nurse injectors within our own network that we've framed up and they have grown, or number 2, bringing nurses from outside of the network, which can come through advertising or through word of mouth for other nurses.
Wonderful. Wonderful. All right, guys, keep up the good work, and it sounds like you know what you're doing, and looking forward to hearing more in October.
Thank you, Douglas. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you. Our next question is from Shubhra Bajaj of Macquarie Group.
Hi, Martin and Ivan. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Congratulations on the solid result. I just had one question from my end. Your current network of roughly 118 clinics by September, including the ASC acquisition and the new clinics you just opened, brings you much closer to the medium-term target of 150 plus, which was announced at your prospectus. Will you be reassessing the network target going forward? And I guess, how should we think about the next medium to long-term milestones from here?
Yeah, it's a great question. We'll definitely be continuing to evolve our network plan. 150 is still our medium term, and if we still think about that run rate of 6 to 10 clinics a year, is sort of the run rate we'll be continuing to evolve on. Now, that run rate can be a combination of organic growth and M&A. Obviously, the M&A is the big question mark for us as we continue to evolve, and we're constantly looking at opportunities, whether it be single clinics, small chains, of 5 to 15, for example, as well. That growth has to be still a complementary network for us and be a good opportunity for our shareholders. So I think for us over the medium term, that 150 is still in our plan. Will we exceed that 150 and move to, I don't know, 200 or whatever that is? Look, we will continue to evolve that over the next 12 to 18 months. And look, we're not going to just hit 150 and stop. We'll obviously, if we see the opportunity, we'll continue to grow that.
There's obviously the network growth in terms of number of clinics. There's also, we're looking at categories, and we've got the new body category, which is very exciting. There's 2 more modalities there that allows further growth. So it's not purely about bricks and mortar clinics. The online is growing as well. So there's opportunities to grow beyond just clinic numbers.
Definitely.
Great. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our last question is from Sam Pittman of Taylor Collison.
Hi, guys. Just a quick one. Do you have any figures you can sort of speak around in relation to your repeat customers? Obviously, you spoke earlier about how sticky the client base is towards, your nurse injectors. Do you have anything sort of around that sort of stuff?
We do have some, which is not in the presentation. Our clients in injectables in particular average around 2.6 visits per year. And we do measure from a back of house what we call our churn rate, which is 2 categories of churn. One is clients that have come into one category and no longer in that category but are still having a different treatment, or 2, clients that have come into our business and then have actually left our business. The ones that have come into our business and left is something that we focus very heavily on with each of our department heads to try and measure that churn rate. But from an injectable perspective, it's an average of around 2.6 across our entire business.
Sure. Cheers for that. And also, just in relation to, obviously, do you have a breakdown, I suppose, of who your franchisee owners are? So how many are the injectable nurses? How many is of your skincare people you spoke about previously and investors?
Yeah, we do. Obviously, that's going to change quite dramatically with the Australian Skin Clinics acquisition. But we do have I don't know if we've got it off the top at the moment. I think we've got around 21 or 22 nurse injector owners in our platform. If you look at slide number 2, this doesn't have the breakdown of what the ownerships are, but if you look at slide number 28, you can see there we have 26 joint venture ownerships, which is 22 for Silk and 4 for Australian Skin Clinics. And we have 65 traditional, 17 for Silk and 48 for Australian Skin Clinics. Now, majority of our nurse injector owners are in the joint venture, a couple in the traditional. The majority of our investors are probably in the Australian Skin Clinics network in that 48. There's a few in the 17 in Silk as well. And the majority of our beauty owners are also in the joint venture as well. So I could probably get you, Sam, I know we're presenting to you guys later, but I can get you that breakdown when we come and present to you if you like.
Fantastic. That'd be brilliant.
Great. Thank you, Sam.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from Mark Devcich of Pi Funds.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, just well done on the result.
Thank you.
In a tough environment. Just one for me. The acquisition, I'm just wondering, is there any kind of chance to renegotiate the acquisition price or the earn-out component of it? Is that still likely to be paid? I think it was relating to opening clinics. Just interested on if anything changes given the lockdowns.
No, there isn't an opportunity to renegotiate. I mean, we're taking a long-term view of this acquisition. It's very strategic for us, moving us into Victoria, much stronger in the eastern states, into New Zealand internationally. So, we're taking a long-term view along with this acquisition as an important strategic step, but we don't have specific clauses around being able to renegotiate due to COVID lockdowns. The earn-out formula is set, and there are three new joint venture clinics opened. They were actually open, although obviously they're impacted by current shutdowns, and there are three in New Zealand, and I think two of the three there are open as well. So it's likely that they've got until 31st December to complete the New Zealand openings, so it's likely that those will be fully opened and that we'll be paying the that's based on shares, the 5 million earn-out elements of the 52 million. It's likely that will be paid in full.
Yeah, it is important to note that we are taking a long-term view on that. So I know COVID is obviously front of mind, but we definitely believe this is a transformational acquisition to our business. So it's something we're very excited to get our hands on September 1.
Yeah. And the 4.9 pro forma EBITDA first full year of ownership, is that, are you going to give a revised number on that in your next update, or how should we think about that kind of view?
We'll certainly give some commentary and some information regarding the Q1 performance, but I doubt we'll be giving a revised for, you know, we'll give some explanation of how the numbers are made up and more color around the general financial drivers of ASC, but it's too early to say, but I'm not sure we'll be giving a forecast for the remainder of the year.
We will definitely give you some. I mean, we'll have had the business for 1 month by then, so we better give you some good operational highlights and really understand a little bit more. And after the first month, we'll definitely give you a bit of a breakdown of operational understanding in that business. And then once, you know, it'll be hard to give a bit of a guidance only after 30 days of ownership.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the update.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Perelman for closing remarks. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Look, I just want to say thank you to everyone. It's been a very eventful year for us to be listing in the market in December, to then do an upgrade to our forecast in February, to then do a major acquisition of Australian Skin Clinics, and then to deliver this result, beating our upgraded forecast, is a really pleasing year. From a management perspective, we're really pleased with everything. The culture here is fantastic, and our team are very hungry for FY22. So we hope we can continue to deliver, and look forward to being able to give you that Q1 update, which we hope will be a strong result. Thank you.
Thank you.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.